welcome to a special joint edition of What We Learned in the Markets and Your Financial Journey with Whitaker Myers Wealth Managers, where we will guide you to take control of your finances and give you financial peace. I'm Tim Hilterman, a certified financial planner and chief financial planning officer here at Whitaker Myers. I'm joined by my colleague and co-chief investment officer, Sumit Puri. Sumit, let's jump right into our conversation, because we are in unprecedented times, aren't we? I don't want to over-exaggerate, but we really haven't seen these types of events happening before. The tariffs that Trump has threatened and the market moves that have been happening. Last week, we saw the S&P 500 drop almost 11% in 2 days. And of course, Wednesday, we had basically a record pop, 9% in 1 day, and there's just wild fluctuation happening. In these volatile times, can be really unnerving for investors, especially those who are retired and seeing their accounts swing so quickly. So let's jump in. Let's talk about what smart investors are doing right now.
Thanks, Tim. I'm glad to be here. But you know what? Let's not forget the S&P fell nearly another 3.5% yesterday. Unprecedented times must really be the title of our video this week. Now, to answer your question, it may be cliche, but the smart investor is focusing on the long-term returns in the market. The smart investor who knows the market is always thinking that although we want it to go up, it will eventually come down. Now, also, it is very important to note that while an aggressive portfolio can average 10% or more over time, there are some very scary days in an aggressive portfolio. And we've seen this recently in 2022 and in 2020. Now, remember, the market has fundamentals that it follows, and our high school economics lecture in supply and demand come to life here. So as folks sell, stock prices come down. And lower demand equals lower prices. So during 2020 and 2022, and even now, these periods where people are fearful, worrisome, or potentially lose hope in the market or in the future and start selling stock, this is where it gets a little scary. But sometimes this feeds off itself and creates a continuous downward movement. However, it's very, very important to have a long-term outlook when investing in the market. History has shown that whenever the market falls, it always comes back and comes back stronger.
Well, I think that's obviously really important to keep in mind, but I think we're having an honest conversation now because just what you said is happening. There is very real fear in the market, and I think some of that is exhibited by we don't know what's going to happen, and our mind kind of goes to the worst case scenario. And I think we also think back on history when the market has dropped, man, that really hurt me. Or maybe I made an emotional decision then and I haven't recovered, or it's taken a while to recover. But it's good to keep that long-term perspective. I appreciate that. So you said an aggressive portfolio can average 10% annually, while there are times when it can go down a lot, like 30% during the pandemic or 25% in 2022. So how does it get back to those averages?
Now, obviously, to counteract the downward movement in the market, there is as much equal upward movement in the market. So think about coming down a hill, right? It's much easier to go down than come up. And mathematically speaking, you need approximately 2 times the momentum to go up and at least 10 times more or 10% more effort to make it even back to baseline. And that's an important thought to remember here, is that For example, let's say you have $100 invested in the market, right? And the market falls by 10%. So you're back down to $90. If you gain 10% back, that doesn't even bring you back to baseline. So you actually need to get 110% back from what you had lost in order for you to get back to even where your baseline was. And this actually, I think, is very important to highlight here, Tim, and I apologize if I'm going a little bit off track from our conversation, but I think it's important when we're talking about this. When the market falls down, it hurts twice as much for when we lose money than it does for when we gain that money. And so what I mean by that, there's in prospect theory, there's something called loss aversion. And so When we lose $10, in order for me to feel the same equivalent gain, I need to actually get $25 back in order for me to feel better about it. So it's a very interesting time and definitely something to understand as we talk about behavioral finance and certainly throughout this conversation.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think certainly there are headlines when the market is breaking all-time highs and powering up. I looked up some information. I want to share a little bit about that later, so hang on. But what do you think, because of that loss aversion, we've been hearing, I think, a little more frequently now, some clients say, well, why can't I just get out of the market now while it's going down? And just wait for a better time to go in. Don't you think it's only natural to think there?
It really is. And Tim, you're completely right. It's so tempting to adopt that way of thinking. But unfortunately, that's not the way it works. Because some of the best days in the market, Tim, are right after some of the worst days. And the smart investor is not trying to get out at the right time.
I understand that, but again, haven't you heard of the person, that saw the housing crash coming in 2008 and just got out, went to cash and wrote it out? What about that person?
Yeah, that could very well be true, but it's extremely unlikely. I mean, the probability there is so low. And on a side note, can you introduce me to this person? Because if they have a magic eight ball, I really want to get some secret side bets to test this theory.
Well, yeah, I know, but all joking aside, that isn't that just our natural human temptation when we feel pain in our accounts? I mean, everyone is experiencing that right now. We feel like we have to do something. We feel like we're losing money. But the other part of that is, what would cause that person to sell their stock? And actually, the very thing that would cause their person to sell the stock would be something bad happening in the world, some uncertainty that would make stocks fall. And the successful investor that we're describing, when stocks are falling, they be actually become more interested in stocks, don't they?
Yes. No, we all know that adage, that you want to buy low and sell high, right? But when it comes to our personal feelings, we get scared. And when the stock market falls and we see the value of our accounts go down, sometimes very, very quickly, it's very scary during those times. So it's in those times, in that market cycle, it really presents the best buying opportunities for all of us.
Yeah, so if you have some extra cash that's not part of your emergency fund, that's in addition, and it's not invested right now, when stocks drop and drop quickly, you're right, there are some buying opportunities. But of course, if you're already holding stocks and you've seen those stocks drop, it's important to realize it's actually the best time to hold on to those stocks. I remember this quote from Warren Buffett. He says, be fearful when other people are greedy, and be greedy when other people are fearful.
I love that quote, and it means so much in specifically today's environment with this volatility that we're seeing. Now, however, as you mentioned earlier, it's nearly impossible to time the market, which is why I always recommend working with a financial professional that can help you not only diversify your investments, walk you through these in unprecedented times, but also have access to technology or tools and the know-how so that they can identify the right signal within this noise. There's so much that we're hearing in the media. There's so much that is being sent to us, right? It's so difficult to truly identify that signal between all of that. This is why I think working with the right investor or the right financial professionals that have access to that right information is really, really, really critical during this time. Now, Tim, you've been doing this a long time. How would you define diversification? And specifically, like if you want to talk a little bit about our models and portfolios and explain that to our listeners and why diversification is really important.
Yeah, well, obviously, diversification, I think we all understand, is not putting all of your eggs in one basket. And I totally ripped this quote off, but diversification is Advisors always having to apologize for something, because if you're properly diversified, not everything is moving in tandem with each other. Not everything is going up at the same time, or at least it basically shouldn't. You want something there to provide a yin and a yang in your portfolio. For our core strategies, of course, we are aligned with Dave Ramsey's investment philosophies. So you're investing in growth, aggressive growth, growth in income, and international, to give our clients a proper holistic exposure. Now, on top of that, depending on clients' risk tolerance and their phase of life, if they're in a point where they're living off of their assets, we're going to recommend probably an allocation to some bond funds or some alternatives, because that strategy allows us to decrease the correlation of the assets in the portfolio. When I say correlation, it's back to that. Something must be behaving differently than your stocks. So, you know, when it's appropriate and we have a client pulling a portion out of their investments, we need to provide them the ability to hang in there with their stocks and not to sell their stocks when they're going down. One of the most important articles that we've written and popular articles on our website was written by John Mark during the bear market of 2022. It's a very good article. I'd recommend you look it up. It's talking about the nature of bear markets, how long they last, how much the market drops on average, and how long it takes to recover from a bear market. And I'll say another thing. One of the things that we do as advisors is give our clients education. Because, for example, when you as a client can understand a bear market, know that we can't avoid them, but I know how long they last on average and what to expect, I can prepare for that. Well, going back, so at the time, the average bear market, the S&P 500 dropped by an average of 30%. It took 338 days for the market to hit its worst point, almost a year. And then it took another 603 days to get back and break even. So this is very important. And if we can give clients something they can use during the time when those stocks are dropping, give them something that they don't have to sell during those times of upheaval for about 3 years, then we won't have to sell their stocks during a downturn, and they can ride out the average bear market.
Wow, Tim, that's exactly right. And as we've had discussions with many of our clients recently, that's giving them a lot of peace of mind. Now, we're helping them stay invested and not making those emotional decisions that we've talked about. And we're giving them that peace of mind that there likely are portions of their portfolio that are holding up or steady, some falling, but not falling as much as stocks are during that same time. So, Tim, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but it reminds me of a study that Vanguard did that they refreshed in 2022. Vanguard attempted to quantify the value of working with an advisor. Do you know what that study said?
Well, I'm a financial advisor, so I'm a little biased. I'm going to say working with an advisor added about 1% a year.
Well, to blow that out of the water, Tim, it was actually 3%. Now, isn't that shocking? Isn't that incredible? And I think what's also really important there is that there are a lot of important comments, and there's a lot of content in that article that we'll link in the description below. So if any of our readers want to read that article, please take a moment to do that as well. But I want to highlight a few key points from that article in our discussion. So the first one is that the most significant opportunities present themselves intermittently. So often during periods of either market duress or euphoria. So we have both sides, right? We have the highs and the lows. And those are various points that we'll find market opportunities. Now, these opportunities can pique investors' fear or greed, tempting them to abandon a well-thought-out investment plan. And in such circumstances, the advisor may have the opportunity to add tens of percentage point value, rather than mere basis points, and may more often offset years of advisory fees. Is that incredible?
I mean, those are really good points. I can remember both sides of that coin. You know, the euphoria, we think recently, maybe not right now, but Tesla at one point, you know, you heard clients, oh, I invested $1,000 in Tesla, now I have $100,000. They're kind of bragging about that. Of course, NVIDIA went on an absolute tear over the last few years. But, you know, anecdotally, we talked with that investor that saw the housing crisis come and went to cash. Well, the same token, or even more so, I've talked with several people who reacted during the 2008 crash, during the 2020 pandemic and the 2022 bear market summit. You know, they were in pain. They were seeing their account values dropping like some people are right now. And they just wanted to do something. They had to get out of that pain and they went to cash. But it was after the market had already dropped significantly. And what happened was they missed out, like you said, some of the best days of the market are after some of the worst days. So they missed out on the market rip that always comes after the market dip. So as much as we're aware of how fast the market has dropped recently, again, I think it's important to pick your head up and get some perspective. And I'd like to talk about a couple recent times when the market went up. Summit, you were saying an aggressive portfolio can average 10% per year, even though we go through these bear markets. So here's some of that information I looked up. From March 2020, that was the bottom of the pandemic, to January 2022, this is almost unbelievable, the S&P 500 was up by 114%. And, you know, not too long after that, we all know 2022 was a rough year. But from the bottom of that year, October 2022, through 2024, the S&P 500 was up more than 50%. And 2024 was a remarkable year. I remember at the beginning of it, we broke all-time highs. At that time, the S&P 500 was around 5,100. So the market was just in a tear after 23. 24 broke all-time highs again. And it kept blasting another 1,000 points up to 6,100. And of course, right now, the S&P 500 is well off of 6,100. But if you look at the perspective, we're really, at this moment, at least when we're recording this video, we're back to where the market was last August. So this is very important to remember, because I do hear some people saying, Tim, I've lost so much, or I'm worried. I just see my account going down. I've lost so much. I can't do this anymore. But really, unless you purchased stocks at the very peak, which was mid-February of this year, and you sold them now when they're down, you haven't lost anything yet. You haven't locked in any losses, and your account's probably pretty close to where it was last August.
Those are really great points. I heard earlier in the week shared by one of our associates, and I think I shared this with you as well, that you don't get hurt when you're riding the roller coaster until you jump off in the middle of it, right? And I think that lands in this exactly with your example. Until if we sell and we realize those losses when the market is so far down, even though it might be closer to where we were last August, that's really the only point that we truly get hurt. Now, I know we're getting probably close to the end of our discussion, but I think I want to take a quick moment and jump into the big elephant in the room and really talk about that elephant in the room. I'm sure you've heard it lots of times. I've heard it nonstop on so many different channels and everything that we subscribe to. And that is the R word, right? You've heard that thrown around a lot lately. So can we take a couple minutes and maybe for the benefit of our viewers, talk a little bit about a recession and what investors should do in the light of a potential recession?
Yeah, well, I think the key word there is a potential. Summit, we've had the predictions of recession for the last 4 years, let's be honest. You know, there was a very brief recession during the pandemic, but beyond that, pretty much ever since, there have been the expectations of a recession that hasn't come out yet. And I'm not predicting. There's no way to say there will or will not be a recession. Of course, there are indicators and feelings and all types of stuff. But, you know, in my opinion, it's pretty remarkable. And I consider, when I'm saying remarkable, what happened during the pandemic, and it's an amazing story. Remember, to save the economy, the Fed not only dropped interest rates to zero, but it pumped unprecedented amount of dollars into the economy. And we all know, into individual pockets, the stimulus checks were hitting everyone. And now, this is just my opinion. What do you think is going to happen when you pump trillions of dollars into an economy? Inflation. And in 2021, I personally believe it was obvious that we're going to have to fight with inflation. But that whole year, I remember it, the Fed left rates very low. Transient inflation was a term during that time. And then I remember it like it was yesterday, Jerome Powell in Jackson Hole during a Fed meeting. He usually made this very lengthy speech. He stood up for about 5 minutes and he basically said, "We're really sorry, because guess what? Inflation is a problem, and it's a very serious problem, and it's our duty to combat it, and we're going to do everything we can to fight inflation." And of course, we all know what happened next. The Fed aggressively about-faced their policy. They jacked up rates very quickly to fight inflation. Of course, other things were happening, like the war in Ukraine. Inflation hit 9.1% in 2022, and the market tanked. But did we hit a recession? We did not, and we still haven't. But question, Summit, does that mean we'll never get into a recession?
I think the pretty obvious answer to that is we don't know. and there's really no way to be certain. Right, that we're going into a recession until the recession is declared. So it's post. So, and most of our listeners probably already know this, but a recession is declared after the fact. And so we're already facing the impacts of it. We're facing the reality of it, but we don't really know that we were in a recession until after the fact. And Tim, there's an important point for investors to keep in mind, that the market is always forward looking. The market is composed of people who are attempting to predict or really guess what happens in the market. And so if they expect that Nvidia, for example, to be very profitable, you know, they'll go in and purchase that stock. And what will happen, as we talked about earlier in the conversation, as you purchase that stock, the demand for that stock goes up and the stock rises. So that's why the market took such a quick downturn, specifically when Trump recently announced his tariff plans. Now, did we know tariffs were coming? Yes. Trump has broadcasted his plan. But if the market truly expected the tariffs to be rolled out in the scale and the way that they were, it probably would have been down even more before the announcement. And in regards to our discussion on recession, by the time we're in a recession, it's very likely that the market will already be moving on and heading back up. So Tim, I think that kind of puts a little cap on our discussion there with recession, understanding that the market's forward-looking. What do you have any additional thoughts on that?
Well, obviously, by the time we know we're in a recession, as far as the market goes, the quote unquote damage will already be done. But, you know, if we think there is a more likely chance, let's just say, of a recession coming, what moves should we be making, or what should an investor do?
Well, the good news is, Tim, we make sure that all of our clients are very well diversified. We track and monitor all of their accounts very closely. And so my thoughts when it comes down to this, if you're properly diversified already, you really don't need to make any moves.
And I think the key term there is properly diversified. If you're working with one of our advisors, we're taking you not only diversifying your investments, but taking you down the Dave Ramsey baby steps. You should have a emergency fund. You should at least be working on an emergency fund if you don't have a fully funded emergency fund. So you have some cash there. And then when it comes to what's appropriate for you for your investments, you have the right diversification there. So like we said before, you probably have some bonds or some non-correlated assets in your account to help you through those times. And Summit, you know, while we're encouraging our clients not to make any moves during a turbulent market, I want them to know we here at Whitaker Myers, we're not just sitting on our hands. We're not just holding our breath waiting for this to pass by. Describe a little bit what's happening behind the scenes here at Whitaker Myers.
Certainly. Tim, I don't think any one of our team members are sitting on their hands. In the current state, we're all running around just making sure that we have all of our ducks in a row. And that means we look at this current environment and all environments in two different lights. First of all, we look at it tactically and certainly strategically. So here's some things we do from a tactical perspective. Number one, we're always looking for opportunities to rebalance. Now, when the markets move quickly or there's fluctuations and that change your natural allocation or the allocation of your stocks to bonds that you have within your portfolio, we look for that as a great red sign or a sign for us to sell high and buy low. And what I mean by that is if you have an allocation of, let's say, a 60-40, what I mean by that is an allocation of 60% of your portfolio is sitting in equities or stocks, and 40% are sitting in fixed income or bond assets. If in this environment we see your stocks come down to, let's say, 40%, and the rest of the portfolio or 60% is sitting in bonds, it's a great opportunity potentially for us, and we will do the analysis so you don't have to sell some of the bond stocks and buy some of the equity or stocks, sell some of the bond funds and then buy some of the equity or stock funds, thus once again taking advantage of what we mentioned earlier, the buy low, sell high opportunity. Now also during this time, and mind you, I'm only giving you a couple ideas here that we look from a tactical perspective. During this time, we also have an opportunity to do tax loss harvesting. And so tax loss harvesting gives us visibility on unrealized losses, essentially. So let's define that more clearly. So if a holding has an unrealized loss, it may be a good time to sell that holding for tax purposes. Now, we stay invested, and what we do is we move that to a similar holding, but what we're able to do is we'll take that tax loss, and it becomes beneficial then on that client's tax return that they're able to take that as a loss in their account. Now, those are two tactical strategies that we use. And then more holistically or strategically, when we're looking across the whole organization, I think it's important to identify that our internal and external research teams, they're focused on constantly, and I mean constantly, evaluating the market and looking for the best long-term opportunities. Now, when it's appropriate, we'll tweak or make modifications to our strategies and the funds that are in there, but that is usually very small. And so when we see major environments change, we might go and make change. But also another key point there, Tim, is that none of this happens in silo. I'm not sitting there being the only one making the decision. We have a whole team that comes together. And so we make sure that we have a very diverse group that gets together to make those decisions. And so we're making the best decision for our clients when it's appropriate to do so.
That's great, Summit. And I think one thing that you won't see us doing is trying to predict or time the market. Yeah, and for some reason, I think clients have a perspective that we do have that magic eight ball or that crystal ball, and we can say, hey, we know exactly what Trump is going to announce unbeknownst to the market. So we're going to magically stop and get out and go to cash and wait. That is not the mark of a successful investor. And that's truly why it's so valuable to work with an advisor like us. Not only do we have the research, but we have the perspective and the expertise not to make those emotional decisions. Well, perfect way to wrap up this video, Summit. Appreciate you joining us. You know, if you're watching this video and you feel nervous about the market, that's understandable. But if you'd like more information, please reach out to one of the experienced advisors here at Whitaker Myers. If you work with us already, call your advisor, tell them your emotions. We can help you have those right conversations, make any appropriate adjustments, or just keep you in the market. We can help you through the markets and provide the right advice, the peace of mind that can help you from doing something that could very negatively impact your financial success. Well, if you've enjoyed this video, we'd really appreciate if you hit that like button right now and maybe share this with someone who could benefit from this advice. Please subscribe to our channel to make sure you get our latest content. And if you have a financial question, we'd love to hear it. Just drop a comment below. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. Lord willing, we'll catch you next time.